Stone & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton is in Knoxville, where she is going to protect the couch. Because if the Vols win tomorrow, are they going to set a couch on fire?
Absolutely.
They may set a couch on fire.
As they should.
They should set couches on fire?
Well, okay, well, maybe not necessarily setting a couch on fire. We're not going to endorse arson on this show. But they should be happy about it. They should celebrate.
You're right. And I can see the text line. We'll get to these texts in just a second. I can see the text line flooding in about Tennessee fans and the fact that they can't quit Lane Kiffin. That anytime Lane does something, Tennessee fans have to talk about it because they're obsessed. USC doesn't care. The Raiders don't care. Alabama doesn't care.
He was bad at USC. Alabama's been fine since he left. I think you're obsessed with Lane Kiffin.
So that's what one of the texters said. My bigger issue is this. The focus on this game, in my opinion, shouldn't be about Lane Kiffin. Lane's brand is established. We know what he is. Ole Miss knows what he is. Take the crazies out of it. Take, like, real sensible fans. Ole Miss knows what they are. They know that they're a program in the SEC West that's not as good traditionally as Alabama, Auburn, LSU, or Texas A&M. They think they're probably better than Mississippi State, which I would assume matters the most to them, that they be better than Mississippi State, and they probably think they're better than Arkansas. But they know where they are. They know their place.
Just barely.
They know that they are traditionally, when they're good, that they can be a top 25 program that goes to a bowl game every year. And so they're kind of like Kentucky, but they care about football more because they don't have a good basketball program and because they don't play in the East, where if Ole Miss were in the East every year, they would try to position themselves behind Florida and Georgia on a consistent basis. So they're like the Kentucky Wildcats of the SEC West, which is fine, but they know that. And so they look at Lane, and I think they think, okay, this is going to be an offensive coach, so it's going to be fun, who's a little kooky and crazy, so we're going to win games 52-51 like we did last week against Arkansas. And with Lane, we can be a top 25 team that maybe gets to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl or the Citrus Bowl or a decent bowl, you know, every other year or so. And then when they're not in that bowl, they can play like in the Music City Bowl or in some other bowl. Like, they know what they are. And I think most people know what Lane is. I don't think anybody across America, except for the crazies, thinks that you can win a national title with Lane Kiffin as your coach. He just doesn't care about defense enough. He's not responsible enough. He's not buttoned up enough. He's not any of those things. The real question here is Heupel. That's the one that I think if we're talking about Tennessee and we're talking about the focus of this game this week, to me, it's Heupel. And here's why. Because going into the season, you had to ask yourself, what are the expectations for Tennessee football? And there were a lot of, like, answers that were subjective. Like, oh, I hope Tennessee football, you know, just puts out there a decent team that doesn't get absolutely killed by so-and-so or that doesn't anything like that. But there was also some, hey, 6-6, 7-5, you know, going to a bowl game, looking competitive, like those things were more objective. Like either you're 6-6 or you're not 6-6. Either you're in a bowl game or you're not in a bowl game. And so with Heupel, we looked at it and said, okay, they're going to beat Tennessee Tech. They're going to beat Vanderbilt. They're going to beat, who is it, South Alabama or one of those teams? You know,
Tennessee Tech, South Alabama, Bowling Green.
South Alabama's on the schedule this year, right?
I think so.
Okay, whatever. Crap Bum State, they're going to beat them. They're going to beat Bowling Green. That's four. Then you think they're probably going to beat South Carolina. That's five. So now all you got to do is pick up six. That's all you had to do. And that's why we looked at the Missouri game and we were like, oh my God, you know, you beat Missouri. That's probably the sixth win. They annihilate Missouri. That's good. But then once you annihilate Missouri, now we start saying, well, wait a minute. What about Kentucky? And on the same day that Tennessee annihilated Missouri, Ole Miss got skunked by Alabama. Got absolutely housed. And I think you can think, well, wait a minute, what about Ole Miss? Because going into the year, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, you're like, no shot. Then Kentucky looks good to start the season, you're thinking, no shot. Now you're thinking, okay, maybe there's a chance Ole Miss. Maybe there's a chance Kentucky. Well, now you start talking about 7 wins. Now you start talking about 8 wins. Now you're starting to talk about a decent bowl game, like the Gator Bowl or whatever it's called now, Tax Slayer Bowl, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about Heupel, because we don't know what Heupel can be. We have no clue. And if you take over the mess that he inherited and you get to 7 or 8 wins in a decent bowl game at Tennessee and you win impressive games, which this would be for him, mm-hmm. I think instead of comparing him to Lane Kiffin, I think it's more about the idea that Heupel has already exceeded your expectations in year two. Now, this says nothing about his recruiting. This says nothing about, you know, can he get the guys to buy in going into year two, which may be the most important year for a coach. Can he get the guys to get along, to get the chemistry right, to get the coaching staff right? All of those things, you know, are going to be determined later. But as far as the initial expectation for Josh Heupel, for me, he wins on Saturday, he exceeds it. Tennessee fans had a very neutral rating on Josh Heupel. I think some people were underwhelmed by the hire when it was made because he took over a UCF team that was up here and they were starting to decline down here. But if you take over a Tennessee team that's all the way down here and they win 7 or 8 games that first year, they beat an Ole Miss, maybe they beat Kentucky or something like that, Tennessee fans are going to think, this guy can coach. And maybe they're right. I know what Lane is. I don't know what Josh Heupel is. So that's my way, my like long drawn out, long winded way of saying that that the focus of this game should be on Heupel and not on Lane. And it shouldn't be to compare Heupel to Lane, which is what I think Tennessee fans are going to do. If they win, they're going to say, our guy's better than your guy. But it's not about that, because we know what Lane is. We know what Ole Miss is. This is about what can Heupel be. And I don't know if Tennessee fans are looking at it like that.
Well, wouldn't it be a natural comparison to make that our guy is better than your guy if our guy beats your guy? We know what Lane Kiffin is. That's the thing. We know what Lane Kiffin
is. I don't think Kentucky fans look at it like, hey, our guy is better than Eli Drinkwitz. You know, which would be the typical, our guy is better than your guy. This is why it goes back to that X mentality of, you know, hey, our guy's better than your guy. I mean, it matters when it matters when you're emotionally attached to the other guy. Nobody talks about, is Josh Heupel better than Shane Beamer? Because they don't care about Shane Beamer. But Georgia fans
Well, also because Shane Beamer doesn't coach a top 25 team.
Well, but see, I don't think that, like when you guys were at LSU, when you guys won the national title in 2019, how many games was the our guy better than your guy thing mattered to you?
Alabama.
Okay. The one where there's serious jealousy, serious envy, serious anger towards the way he left LSU. Like nobody looked at it. And Alabama wasn't the only good team that LSU played. In fact, LSU beat Texas in week 2 of that year. And people forget about this. LSU's first choice was Tom Herman. Like, LSU wanted Tom Herman. Tom Herman, I think, honestly wanted the Texas job, but he was trying to play both sides of it, which is what most coaches do. And LSU embarrassed Tom Herman. And that could have been an our guy is better than your guy game.
Think it was. But also, to your point, that is another kind of emotional investment, because it kind of felt like, oh, well, Tom Herman would rather go to Texas. That's fine. We'll beat you. Because that has a little bit more of an emotional pull to it. But I mean, for Tennessee fans, like you said, we know what Lane Kiffin is. And I would say that Lane Kiffin has found a good bit of success. You know what you're going to get from Lane Kiffin offense. He has the ability to have this high powered offense, and he's done it. I mean, his quarterback's in conversation for the Heisman. So I think it's using that as a benchmark, using that as kind of a tape measure game of like, okay, we know what Lane Kiffin is. We know what Matt Corral is. We know what this Ole Miss team can do. So if we can beat them, if we can hang around with them, then that's a measuring stick for where this Tennessee program is.
Lane Kiffin is 9-6 at Ole Miss. Like, he's not, you know, when you talk about an our guy beating your guy, he's not like, you know what's crazy? Who's better coach, him or Mark Stoops?
Right now, I might have to say Mark Stoops.
Ian, who's the better coach, Lane Kiffin or Mark Stoops?
That is a good question. Stoops seems like a pretty good, overall, more rounded coach. And Lane seems more like an offensive kind of guy. I don't know how you compare that, you know, but it's hard to go against Stoops at this point.
I think Stoops is a better coach. But I don't think, I don't think Tennessee fans care about Mark Stoops. They care about Lane. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and I see them lining up, so we will get to them next. 615-737-1025. It's pretty wild when you think about it like that, though, isn't it? Like, all the talk and all the drama, and TV always wants to put Lane Kiffin on television because he might say something, and CBS is like, oh, God, we got to put Kentucky on this week. Oh, God. Oh, why do we have to put Kentucky on? You know, like, that's what they're saying at CBS. And yet, I think you can make the argument Stoops is a better coach. And you know how I feel about Stoops. You know, off the air, how I feel about Stoops. Mm-hmm. 102.5 has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag The Game and use the hashtag TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Support local, support social. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals. Check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half-off gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. To your phones we go on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Tennessee and Ole Miss. Caroline, please.
One texter texts in about Lane Kiffin and said, here's the difference. If Lane Kiffin is your head coach, it's easy to get behind him. His moxie is contagious. If he is there, there is a legit belief that winning an SEC championship is possible, whether or not it actually happens. Heupel is just okay. It's not like he's a bad coach. It's just you don't feel like he's ever going to be a contender for a national title, an SEC title, or even the SEC East.
So I believe the first part, and that goes back to the exact same thing we ended the last segment on. Who's the better coach? Mark Stoops or Lane Kiffin? Lane makes you believe. Like, Lane is the head coach version of Taylor Lewan, right? Like, people that love that kind of bravado love it. Like, they love Taylor Lewan's podcast. Mm-hmm. They love his T-shirts. They buy jerseys with number 77 with dad on the nameplate. They
still so weird.
Love it. They love it. Oh, my God. They just think that that's a way of life. For the boys, they just love it. But if you care about winning football, you don't care about that. You care about, you know, can Taylor Lewan's hips move well enough for him to be able to get outside and block for Derrick Henry? Can Taylor Lewan take on the best pass rushers in the NFL, like a David Onyemata or a Chandler Jones or a... You know, who are they going up against this week? Mario Addison. You know, like, can he face those guys? That's what you care about. If you care about, you know, if you get in, you can get suckered in to the bravado of Lane Kiffin, the trolling of Nick Saban. I mean, think about this. Did anybody think that him trolling Lane Kiffin him trolling Nick Saban for an entire year was going to end well for him?
I just thought it was, I was like, you are planning your own funeral, Lane, because it's going to make everything so much worse.
I mean,
whenever you inevitably lose.
Did anybody think that? Like, what's crazy is I was reading Tim Grover's book, The Trainer for Michael Jordan and Kobe. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was a game where the Bulls were playing the Vancouver Grizzlies. And some scrub player, they were down by like 13 in the third quarter or fourth quarter. And some scrub player said something to Michael Jordan. Jordan went nuts and had like 22 in the fourth, and the Bulls humiliated the Grizzlies at the end. And it's like, did you think that was going to end well for you? Like, you know that's not going to end well. Horace Grant in The Last Dance, Nick Anderson, who was on that Orlando Magic team that Horace was on, came out and said, yeah, 45 is not 23. And Horace Grant goes, oh, God, why did he say that? Because you don't say stuff like that. So when you're a fan, you love, like, the bravado, the moxie, the we're going to get them, you know, the aggressive talk, like the
It's the kind of thing that you love it when they're your coach, but when they're not your coach, you think it's so annoying.
You think it's so immature.
Yes.
Mark Stoops would never. I have no idea what Mark Stoops has said about Kirby, but I bet it's nothing but good stuff. Kirby was talking about how great of a coach Mark Stoops was this week. That's why you do it. And by the way, I still think, and I'm not a huge Stoops guy, I still think Stoops is a better coach than Lane. Stoops is more buttoned up. Stoops has brought his program from further down because Kentucky was a mess.
Kentucky was a dumpster fire.
They were awful. I mean, and Stoops has had good players, and he flies under the radar. But to the texter's point, you're never going to think you're going to win the SEC with Mark Stoops as your coach. But you think you're going to win the SEC with Lane Kiffin as your coach. Guess what? He's never won the SEC before. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says an 8-5 record his first year, beat Georgia, lost to Bama by a blocked field goal. He did far better than any other coach we have had in 10 years. And to the texter's point, I think that's exactly why Tennessee fans are so hung up on him, because he did bring success to that program. He did get that success, that program excited. And then he left on his own free will.
Eight wins, a 7-5 season. That is not like that's a Butch Jones.
What do you think the standard for success is at Tennessee?
But if that was the standard for success, Butch Jones would still be the coach. I mean, Butch Jones beat Florida and Georgia in the same year. He won eight games. I think he won nine games.
And he kept his job after that. And then he started to decline.
He had one bad year. They wanted to fire him after the 2016 season, where I think they went 9-4. And I believe that year in 2016 was the year that they beat Florida and Georgia. They just also lost to South Carolina and Vanderbilt, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. But, I mean, to me, I think it's the Vols fans are just caught up in the bravado of Lane. The bravado and the exciting offense. You know, the exciting offense. And I don't get into this stuff. I used to love Colin Cowherd, and I still watch his show because I think, you know, at that time of the day, it's the best thing on for sports. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, do I want to watch that or do I want to watch First Take? I'll watch this. But Colin Cowherd, when he was at ESPN, I mean, he was just fire and brimstone. I mean, he just lit people up. Now he's moved out to Los Angeles. He's on Fox making $6.5 million a year. And he talks about things that I don't necessarily care about, which is like LeBron's a brand. Jimmy G doesn't have a brand. Brady's got a brand. And so I don't really get too much into that. But, like, compare Josh Heupel's brand to Lane Kiffin's brand. I can make an argument that Josh Heupel is a better offensive coach than Lane Kiffin.
You could make that argument.
Lane's got the good looks. Lane's got the preemptive touchdown celebrations on the sidelines. Lane's Joey Freshwater. Lane's all. And I think Tennessee fans really bought into that. You know, he came from the NFL. I think Tennessee fans really bought into that. When they hired Josh Heupel at Tennessee, and I'm not to say that, you know, you never judge a cover by the book. You never judge a book by the cover.
A book by its cover.
When they hired Josh Heupel, I remember looking at Josh Heupel and just kind of thinking, this is the guy that was that badass quarterback at Oklahoma that won the national championship? Like, really? And I think the Tennessee fans, I think they like Heupel. I think they hope that Heupel does well. I think they hope that Heupel's their guy. I think they've seen some encouraging signs. But they're not, like, eating it up like they ate up the Lane Kiffin stuff. And well, I think that's all a mental thing. It goes back to Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops doesn't look the part. You know, what is Mark Stoops' brand? I don't know. But I think he's a better coach than Lane.
Well, Lane had that star appeal. Lane came from the NFL. You know, Lane had that very, you know, Hollywood type of personality and mentality that he wanted the glitz and the glamour. He wanted everything to be shiny. And that's easy to buy into whenever it's your coach and you think that he is doing a good job. That's fun to buy into because it's like, yeah, you know, you can act however you want to act if you win. Bill Belichick, I think, is one of the most mean people out there. But you can act like that. You can act like a whatever when you win games. So I think that's what Tennessee fans bought into, and I don't blame them. I think any other program in the country would buy into that. If you're so starved for at least a little bit of success and some conversation about your program, you're going to eat it up when it comes from anyone. Josh Heupel, on the other hand, isn't that sexy kind of hire. He's not the glitz and the glamour. Like, I could guarantee you there are a lot of people out there that could not pick him out of a lineup. But it's what he does on the field that matters.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. 615-737-1025. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I can't get over what you just said.
What?
I just can't get over it. Oh, man.
What did I just say?
615-737-1025. It's not about what you just said. It's about what you're going to say, which is about our friends at BetUS.
I wanted to tell you about my favorite sports book, and that is BetUS. Hockey's back finally. We've got some college football, NFL football this weekend. So get in on the action and do it with BetUS. They've been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. And that's exactly why I bet at BetUS, because they have integrity. They have longevity. They've been around a long time. So when you win on BetUS, you know that you are going to get paid. Plus, they offer everything. They have live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy prop bets. Anything that you want to put money on, you can do it with BetUS. So call them today, and they will walk you through setting up an account. Call them at 1-800-79-BETUS. That is 1-800-79-BETUS. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS, so give them a try. If you join now, you can mention the promo code GAME and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody in the industry beats BetUS's bonuses. I bet at BetUS. US, and so should you. So go now to BetUS.com, put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman and company play silly underdog picks. That's right. Just bet on three college football underdog teams or pro. Three underdog teams you think will win this week. Sign up before the games begin at the GameNashville.com. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. A.J. Brown made his return last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars and didn't really do much. And so far this season, A.J. Brown and all the hype hasn't really done much. And so I find it to be a little interesting that A.J. Brown took to the podium today. We know that he's going to play. He's a full participant against the Buffalo Bills. In practice so far. And for a team that buttons it up, that you know the coach doesn't want people talking about certain things, AJ decided to let the media know that, well, he's not playing every snap right now for a reason. Here's what AJ said today.
I want to be out there every snap. I know I'm not there yet. That'll come probably like week 10. I play the whole game. But because they won't allow me. That's just because they won't allow me yet. So, but whenever I'm in there, I got to do what I got to do and not try to just preserve energy. I got to make plays when I'm in there. I got to be effective. So,
why week 10?
No, I mean, not just certainly week 10, but just like later in the season. So, you know, because when you get to the end of the league, end of the year, you want to be like rolling with all the guys on the field. So, yeah.
Or so like a preserving.
For sure. Like Coach said, like week one or week two, he's like, he played me too much, which I played like 70-80% of the snaps. Like, you know, I can't control that. So,
I mean, for a team that I can guarantee you, Vrabel doesn't want him saying that. I mean,
oh, absolutely not.
Guarantee you. And here's the other part about it. I don't think AJ cares. Like, I think this is one of those things where Vrabel doesn't tell the media the truth about injuries or situations. There's not a lot of context there. So guys look at it. This isn't college football. Guys look at it and they're like, all right, fine, I'll just do it. You know, I feel like you're giving people a false idea about me. I'll just go tell them the truth. Bud Dupree did it last week. TD came on the show and said, hey, Bud Dupree explained why he hasn't been playing. He rushed himself back from injury too fast. He's worried about the knee. Bud Dupree wanted to get it out there. AJ clearly wants people to know that he's on a pitch count. So I wonder this. What do we make of the fact that AJ is on the pitch count? Do we think that it's a bad idea to have AJ on a pitch count? Because you could tell, I think, from listening to that AJ doesn't want to be on a pitch count. And what do you think about AJ basically bypassing Vrabel and just kind of doing it his way. Because we know Mike's never going to tell us that. And I think in week one, AJ was asked before the Cardinals game, AJ was asked about his availability and things like that. He's like, oh, you got to talk to coach about that. Like, AJ knows. AJ's not stupid now. So what do we make of AJ Brown kind of letting us under the hood or inside the curtain or beneath the curtain, whatever, behind the curtain? What do we make of AJ doing that and kind of probably sharing some information that you know Mike Vrabel doesn't want out there?
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate it, because how many days have we spent speculating about something that Vrabel says, whether it's about Julio's injury or Bud Dupree's injury, AJ Brown's health? We've just been speculating because Vrabel has given us minimal information. So I appreciate from AJ Brown to at least get a little bit of context of about what exactly is going on with this team. But the fact that he did it, knowing that Vrabel probably didn't want him to say that, knowing that Vrabel says close to nothing in every possibility that he can. I mean, we've talked about it on this show this week. Is there a little bit of, you know, tension between Vrabel and these players? Is there a little bit of a culture issue? That's kind of why Ty Zambrillo ultimately decided to retire. So that makes me a little bit nervous that there could be a little bit of headbutting and a little bit of a power struggle maybe between Vrabel and the players.
So you think that this is a, because I think that's probably a little bit bigger picture than I think. I think AJ is frustrated. I think AJ is frustrated that he's not out there enough, and he wants to be out there, and the coaches don't want him out there. And when people look at it, because when you look at a stat sheet and you say Julio Jones, 3 catches, we're like, that's not good enough. When I mean, when they brought in Julio, we're expecting way more than 3 catches for Julio. And who do you blame? You blame Julio. It's like, well, Julio was supposed to come in here and be the guy, and Julio hasn't. AJ's telling you, they're not playing me enough for me to be AJ Brown. And I think what the players, to your point, and I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, honestly. I just don't know if AJ's decision to tell us this was about, like, that it shows a divide between Vrabel and the players. I'm not sure I'm there. I think it does show me that the players feel like, you know, Mike's going to do things his way, but we need to defend ourselves, and we're going to have to do things our way over here. Bud Dupree did it last week. AJ's doing it this week, which is, you know, if I want my excuse to be out there, I'm the one who has to get the excuse out there, because the coach is not going to tell the media that stuff. I'm not sure, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm not sure if it speaks to, like, oh, wow, look at this fundamental issue between the Titans players and the Titans coach.
No, it does make sense to have a little bit of self-defense, because if I'm AJ Brown or any other player on the team, and all of the talk in the media, and we've seen that there are some Titans players that care about what the media says. If they're saying, you know, AJ Brown's not pulling his weight, AJ Brown isn't what we expected, and AJ Brown knowing good and well that he would love to be out there and, you know, being a playmaker out there, but the coaching staff won't let him. I'm sure he wanted to defend himself in a way and say, look, you know, I would love to be out there if I could, but that's just not an option for me right now. But even still, I go back to, that's still a little bit of frustration in the coaching staff, because if he wants to be out there and the coaching staff doesn't want him out there, and I get it, they want to preserve him. I don't necessarily believe in load management, but if AJ Brown has had injuries and he's been dealing with injuries this season, and knowing that he has a contract re-up this season, and knowing that there's a lot up in the air surrounding AJ Brown, I understand it. I don't necessarily know if I agree with it, but I understand it. But I still think there might be a little bit of animosity.
I'm not saying.
I don't know. I'm speculating.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I am not.
This is pure speculation.
So Ian says that Julio had an interesting quote about his hamstring on the injury report. Do we have that quote, Ian?
We do.
Okay, let's go ahead. I have not heard this. I'm guessing you probably haven't heard this either, Caroline. So Ian says Julio said this today.
What are some of the things that you've been doing just to kind of, you know, get back to where you need to be?
Just keeping a clear head, you know what I'm saying, staying positive. That's it, and everything else, you know what I'm saying, take care of yourself. I'm out here practicing, I'm out here flying around, and I feel good.
Is the hamstring a little bit concerning to you at all? Because I know it was last year.
Hamstring?
You were on the injury report.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It was just tight, you know, just precautionary reasons, things like that, but I feel
Holy crap!
What?
Holy crap! Dial this one back again. What?
What are some of the things that you've been doing just to kind of, you know, get back to where you need to be?
Just keeping a clear head, you know what I'm saying, staying positive. That's it, and everything else, you know what I'm saying, take care of yourself. I'm out here practicing, I'm out here flying around, and I feel good.
Is the hamstring a little bit concerning to you at all? Because I know it was last year.
Hamstring?
Well, you were on the injury report.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That hamstring thing I've been dealing with. I forgot about that.
I am making an executive decision right now on the show. Everything that Mike Vrabel tells us about Julio Jones, we can't believe anymore.
I decided. I'm with it. I mean, because I already didn't really believe anything that Mike Vrabel said about Julio Jones.
But we did see the Zapruder tape of AJ or of Julio Jones coming up and limping off the field in the Colts game. So we knew it was an injury. But when Vrabel comes out and has to put out these fires that he starts, that he starts as far as Julio's concerned, when he has to put out these fires, you know, I got people that are telling me like, hey, you know, you're going down the conspiracy theory route here on the Julio Jones stuff and you guys. And because Chris Sanders has been big on not buying into any of this stuff. And Chris Sanders, and I'll give Chris credit. Now, I'll say this. Chris says some crazy stuff sometimes. I'll give Chris credit because Chris was the one who heard John Robinson in a press conference talk about Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and said, yeah, they're gone. Like he knew. Yep, they're gone. And so I think, you know, he's kind of sat in that seat of listening to what the coach has to say or interpreting how he would feel about hearing that as a player. And Chris has not believed a lot of the Vrabel stuff with the Julio. And when Julio, I mean, these players, man, now it's starting to become, to Caroline's point about this being a bigger issue, about the divide between Vrabel and the players, I'm starting to think that there might be something to this. Because
I have a question.
Well, just Bud Dupree.
Go ahead.
Bud Dupree took it on his own to say, hey, this is the deal. AJ took it on his own to say, hey, this is the deal. And Julio Jones basically just told you that the Titans have lied to us for 3 weeks. So, there you go. Wow.
Do you think Julio's reaction there was a genuine catching off guard? Like, do you think Julio Jones actually was like, oh, hamstring?
No, Julio knows he's been on the injury.
I think he did that on purpose.
Wow. That is some, I mean.
That's some tea now.
Here's the thing. Here's the question I'm going to ask. And you tell me if this is a fair question to ask. Because, you know, I don't like the label shock jock. Because I think a shock jock is like somebody like Howard Stern. You know, like, and somebody that would go on and like ask a politician, like, oh, yeah, do you like, you know, tall women or short women or something like that? And that, you know, just to get them, you know, whatever. That's not me.
Just get everyone riled up.
Is it fair to ask the question, did Julio Jones just call Mike Vrabel a liar? Is that a fair question to ask?
I think that calling someone a liar is a big statement. Did Mike Vrabel lie? It kind of sounds like he did. But is Julio Jones calling him a liar? I think being a liar, you are a perpetual, you lie perpetually and you do it for vindictive reasons.
Did Julio Jones tell us that Mike Vrabel lied?
Yes. That's how I interpret it.
Ian, do you think that that is, by the way, great get on that clip. Do you think that that is an irresponsible topic?
That's a good question. It's hard. I wouldn't say Julio's calling, you know, anybody liar or anything like that. I just wonder what kind of clarification he got, what he knows about the injury report. You know, some of those things I feel like with AJ and Julio, it feels like they're getting a lot of heat from the fans and, you know, all this fantasy community and their numbers aren't doing well and all these fans are in the offense and all this kind of stuff. So I do wonder if they're trying to take a little bit of heat off themselves.
Oh, no, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, I told you, I think Dupree decided that, hey, I'm going to tell the fans what's up because Vrabel's not going to tell them. So I'll tell the fans what's up. And I think then the other guys on the team decided that they were going to look at this and say, hey, I'm going to tell them what's up. And this goes back to the thing that TD brought up, which is, does Vrabel do more harm being Johnny's secret keeper? You know, where everything is just a total and complete secret, and he can't ever be honest with anybody about anything. Because all it does is it leads to this just constant cycle of speculation and anger towards a player or I don't know. Now, somebody has texted me and said, if you look at the video, Julio laughs when he says it. He doesn't want to talk about injuries, especially since he had a hamstring last year.
He kind of looks like he's kind of half joking, you know, when he says it, but
he could just be joking.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's an interesting thing to joke about.
Yes.
In all seriousness, like, I don't, I mean, maybe it's, I don't know, man. You say what you say. And I'm not saying that you can't joke around or anything like that, but I mean, to have to take a, I'm already have a, you know, a little Sherlock Holmes microscope underneath, you know, trying magnifying glass to figure out what half these people are saying anyways. And then to have to like read into, well, he laughed at it at the, I don't know. Adam is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, so I was going to give you a Titans-Bills score, and I was confident in the Titans, and I hear that video clip, and that's completely changed. So I was like, oh, man, we match up well with them. You know, everybody's expecting us to suck because we've been sucking, and then you got the Bills who are the hottest team. And then, but we're getting Julio back. But, man, that there is nothing joking about what he just said. You hear it in his voice. He's like, oh, no, I don't have it. So it's basically, in my opinion, either they're giving him LeBron rest days or he's just they can't include him in the game plan and they're leaving him out. I don't think he's hurt. The way he said that makes me think he's not hurt, and that is very concerning as a season ticket holder.
So Adam's not taking the cheese. Thank you for the call. Adam's not taking the cheese that Julio was kidding around there. I mean, I wasn't there, and I haven't seen the video.
I don't know. I've gotten so used to having to interpret Titans press conferences because whatever you hear on the surface, it never really seems to be that simple.
You know, maybe we do need to thank the Predators for at least kind of telling us, you know, whatever they feel.
I appreciate some transparency.
Even though we may not always like it and they may not always like us. And by us, I mean me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can at least maybe give him a little hat tip for that. To your point, it does feel like we have to interpret every Titans press conference like a Talmudic scholar, just analyzing every little, just everything. And, yeah, I mean, Julio said what he said. I mean, I do think it's the one thing I do think is obvious. The players are now going out of their way to tell you what's up with them because Vrabel won't do it.
Why do you think Vrabel, if Julio wasn't kidding around and he genuinely was like, wait, hamstring what? And which implied that Vrabel has been not telling the truth about Julio's hamstring. Why do you think Mike Vrabel feels the need to not be 100% truthful?
The same reason that Mike Vrabel didn't name Shane Bowen defensive coordinator last year, because that's what Belichick does. It's really amazing that Vrabel took the job and everybody asked him 8,000 times about, you know, what'd you learn from Belichick, you know, to do this? And he talked about, well, you know, I played for Bill Cowher and I coached for Urban Meyer and it's not just Bill. And he does a lot of things that are like Belichick. And sometimes I think he does them just because Bill did them. Like, oh yeah, that's just how we did it in Foxborough. So that's how I'm going to do it here. Now that
can't
has
act
not
like
worked
Bill if
out.
You don't coach like Bill.
Well, that has not worked out for a lot of guys. It didn't work out for Joe Judge. It's not working out for Joe Judge. It didn't work out for Matt Patricia. But those guys also don't have Derrick Henry. And I do think that because Vrabel's not a Belichick coach, he was a Belichick player, I do think that's helped out a little bit. But, yeah, I think that's why Vrabel doesn't do it. And he'll say, well, I don't want to spend time, you know, making excuses or talking about injuries at every press conference. And if I answer it once, then I have to answer it every time. And I understand that. But I think TD's probably right. Like, maybe a little bit more transparency would help. All right, let's pick some college games. Caroline's is next. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hang out with Caroline Fenton this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube as she previews the SEC football slate with Southeastern Caroline. She'll give you her picks of the day and get you set before kickoff around the South. It's time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention promo code GAME, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. We have an ALCS game tonight, Red Sox-Astros, game one of the ALCS. Give me the Astros on the money line, minus 145. They're throwing out Framber Valdez on the mound, who's 11-6 with a 3.14 ERA in the regular season. It's his second start of the postseason, but in the regular season, he was 2-0 against Boston with a 1.26 ERA in two starts. He only gave up one run in each of those games, respectively. So I think that the Astros get it done. I think that they're the better team. I think they win this pitching matchup. Chris Sale on the mound for the Red Sox, who hasn't been great as of late. Ever since he came back from Tommy John last year, he hasn't really been himself. So give me the Astros.
Kike Hernandez goes yard. I'll take the Red Sox. What we got?
We've also got Ole Miss coming into Tennessee. Lane Kiffin makes his return to Knoxville. The spread here is 3, Ole Miss favored -3, but I'm going to take Ole Miss on the money line, minus 145. I think that this is going to be a barn burner game. I think that Tennessee keeps it close. I think it's going to be an incredibly high-scoring game, and I think that Tennessee is going to prove something against Ole Miss, but I don't think that they necessarily get the win because we just have a bigger sample size from Ole Miss. We've seen Matt Corral do this before. We've seen Lane Kiffin and this team do it before. We've only seen the Vols have a super high-powered offense in two games, and I have no doubt that Tennessee could go out there and beat them handedly, but I feel most comfortable putting my money on Ole Miss just because we have a bigger sample size, and I think this game is going to come down to the turnovers, and Matt Corral has yet to throw an interception.
I have no doubt Tennessee could beat them handedly. You have no doubt?
They could. This doesn't necessarily mean
no,
I think they
doubt?
Will.
You have no doubt they could beat them handedly.
Yeah.
But you're picking Ole Miss.
I don't think they necessarily will.
Oh, I have a lot of doubt that they could beat them handedly. Okay. I'm taking the Vols, ladies and gentlemen. I'm taking Tennessee. I think they're going to win.
Oh, boy.
I think the Vols are going to win. Give me the Vols 44-38. I think the Vols win. I don't know why I think the Vols win. I can't tell you. I think that Heupel's got it going on
right
now.
Just got a feeling in your gut?
I think there's something about the Alabama loss with Ole Miss that I can't get over, and I don't know what it is. The game's in Knoxville. I am not a huge Lane Kiffin guy. I think this will be a monumental win for Josh Heupel. Give me the Vols to win tomorrow.
I'm also going to take the under on this game. Over-under set at 79.5, and I think that it's going to be a very high-scoring game, but 80 is just a ridiculous point total, so I'm going to take the under as well.
Tell us about BetUS.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention promo code GAME, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, will join us next. I'm picking the Vols. What does he think about the Lane Kiffin return this weekend? Plus Georgia and Kentucky and other games around the country as well. We'll get into that next. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know I love Fireball. Sin Whiskey goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to ignite the night than to do it with ice-cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Whether you're celebrating a return like Caroline will be doing this weekend in Knoxville, whether you're celebrating a wedding like I will be tomorrow as well. We've got baseball, football, Monday night tailgates, you name it. Fireball Sin Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.